Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be seated. I still remember the day I started to change my mind about what I was going to do with my life. I had spent the last 4 years of my life studying psychology with the intention of counseling people. I had always wanted to help people, and I thought it was a really good fit for me. God, however, had different plans for my life. And this is when I began to feel God call me to the ministry. The call is different for everyone that I've ever asked at the seminary. We all come from different backgrounds, and yet we ended up in the same place. We all started a new life answering the call to ministry. Some have come from other denominations. Some have come from other religions. Others have come from long and lucrative careers to serve Christ. One thing we all have in common is our sin. We are sinners. Sinners saved from iniquities. We have new life. I'm not talking necessarily about the new life as in being physically raised from the dead. That was in our Gospel and Old Testament texts. Instead, I'm talking about being raised from spiritual deadness and given new life in Christ. In our epistle text from Galatians, we read about the conversion of Paul. In his own words, "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he, who had set me apart before I was born, and who had called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles." Paul, who before his conversion was named Saul, was a terrible sinner. He was a Jew moving up in the ranks of his faith, and almost seemed prideful for reaching a certain point before his peers. He violently pursued and murdered many Christians. He was even present at the stoning of Stephen the martyr. He guarded the coats while others cast their stones. He was definitely a sinner in need of the gospel. And he was in need of a new life. In Acts 26, we have a clearer account of what happened to Paul. He was journeying to Damascus, and at midday he saw a bright light, brighter than the high sun, which covered him and all those with him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice calling his name in the Hebrew language, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats," which means it is hard to go against the cattle prod. Paul is fighting against Christ, and Jesus is prodding him in another direction to become a Christian and an apostle. Paul answers, "Who are you, Lord?" The Lord answers in some of the most beautiful words ever spoken, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will reveal to you. Delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you to open their eyes, so that they may turn from the darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." We are no different than Paul. We too are sinners in need of a Savior. We have persecuted our brothers and sisters. We pursue our wants and our desires much like Paul. We want to move up in the ranks of industry and economics above our peers. We want to do all this by doing what we love. We become so focused on our wants and our desires that we forget what Christ wants and desires for us. We forget the gifts He has given us. We forget the new life He has earned for us. We are so blinded by our greed and lust that we lose sight of the glorious gift that Christ has bestowed to us. In a way, Paul's story is also our story. I pursued my wants and desires by entering into psychology and trying to become a counselor. I was there in the classrooms of the university when people were stoning my brothers and sisters in Christ with slurs and curses in the name of tolerance and religious freedom. And I did nothing for fear of being labeled intolerant. Students claiming the church is vindictive against gay and lesbian communities on campus. Others claiming we are intolerant because we preach one way to heaven through Christ, even though we all know, obviously, there are more ways to heaven, right? I sat there silently and received my grades, and that was enough. While I may have not actively thrown a stone or cursed my brothers and sisters, just like Paul, I did nothing. And I stood by the wayside. I too have still sinned, for I did nothing to protect them, nor did I lift them up. How many of my Christian classmates may have fallen asleep because of my inaction? Thankfully for us all, we have a Savior who acts on our behalf and guards us. He came to Paul when Paul was most vulnerable. He shared the true gospel. Paul says, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached to me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." This gospel did not come from the lips of a sinful man, but instead from the glorious voice of God. A gospel untouched and unadulterated by man to fit man's wants and desires. This is the gospel that Paul was given. Jesus says to Paul, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen and to those which I will appear to you." Jesus, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Jesus Christ brought Paul out of the darkness and the power of Satan into forgiveness, into a new life, a sanctified life through faith in Christ Jesus. He did this for a man who killed members of Christ's church, who sought these Christians out and tried to coerce them to blaspheme the name of Jesus. If Christ could do that for Paul, who freely admitted to being the foremost of sinners in 1 Timothy, certainly he can do it for us. He can bring us out of our deadness into a sanctified life through faith. He called me out of my darkness and has brought me here today. He has shared his pure gospel with me that I might share it with you. It's not about what I have done or what you have done. We were dead in our sin, and the dead can do nothing. Christ, however, has breathed new life into us. We are no longer slaves to death. No longer do we need to fear death. He has conquered it. Christ has done it. He conquered death on a cross. He has given new life. Not only has he given new life, but he preserves it as well. And he does this through bodily eating and drinking of his body and blood. He is the giver of life. Our Lord and Savior gives Paul a new life, and our graduates are taking the next step in their lives. Some may be going off to college, some the military, and others the workforce. In many ways, this next step will be new to them. New friends, new places, new circumstances, and in a way, a brand new life. Graduates, you are not that dissimilar from Paul. You, as well as the rest of mankind, are sinners. We pursue our wants and our desires with the same level of intensity as Paul. As you go into college, the military, or the workforce, you will meet persecution head on. You may be tempted to join in the persecution of other Christians. You may be tempted to deny the name of the Lord in the face of those who seek to destroy your faith in the name of science and tolerance. I remember in many of my classes the assault on Christianity in the name of religious equality and tolerance. Never forget what Christ has done. Just like Paul, he called you out of the depths of your sins and has given you new life. You were baptized into the family of God. Share this, knowing that you will be called intolerant and despised by man. Share this gospel, knowing that man's opinions do not count. You are loved by God. May these words, graduates, keep you strong in your faith and never forget the new life Christ has given you. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus.